KPFA's Public Affairs Director Elsa Knight Thompson in an interview recorded before his trial for killing of an Oakland police officer. This tape was made in June of 1968.
Huey, I don't want this to be an interview in the ordinary sense of the word. I would like to give you the opportunity to say whatever you have to say. Your trial, I believe, is slated to start on the 10th. And once the trial has started, the whole relationship between you and the outside world will in some way change. And what I would like you to do is to use this as an opportunity, if you wish, to make a full statement. If you wanted to divide it between things that you are addressing to the black community and things you'd like to address to the white community, then that's all right, too.
I think that it could be interwoven in the complete conversation instead of making directing statements to the black community and then the white. We could direct both of them at simultaneously.
Fine. Well, I expect that you had enough people ask you about your personal involvement in how it all got started and so on. Do you want to go into any more of that?
Well, I think that most people are aware of the start of the Panther, but I could explain or recapitulate, because many people get the wrong view of our organization, that the Black Panther Party is a political party, and that we have a political platform and definitely a political aim, that our aims and goals are liberation of the black community, freedom of the black community, and in short, political power of the black people, which we don't have at this point. And we feel that black politics have been mishandled for many years. Matter of fact, it's been mishandled ever since black people started to engage in the so-called American politics. And this was after the Emancipation Proclamation and Black Reconstruction. Black people have been misled as far as the definition of political power. That during Black Reconstruction, many black people were led to believe that to have a political representative in office would mean also political power. The Black Panther Party has found that this is not necessarily so, that the only way that one can have political power is to have a strong base behind him, and the people are the backbone of this power. But during Black Reconstruction, where we had some black representatives in Congress and representatives from many of the southern states where most black people were, they were engaging in the a politics that was actually somewhat absurd because they were representing a people without power. And to explain this, that we would have to examine the nature of the black people's, the black masses' situation in the South at that time. After Emancipation Proclamation, that black people were offered, or promised rather, land and equipment so that they could provide for themselves. And of course, this land was never given. And in effect, all we were given was these political representatives that were supposed to seek rights and freedom for black people. These political representatives were not effective for the simple reason that no one had to listen to them in the political arena that they were operating in, because they couldn't offer a political consequence. After they expressed the desires of the people, there was nothing more done. Simply, if the demands were not met, because the people didn't have control of the land or the means of production at the time. So the white people in the political arena had a power behind them, because they owned land, they owned tools for production, and thereby they controlled the land. And these white politicians, when they didn't get what they wanted, or if the people didn't get what they want, whom they represented, then the people would act in such a fashion to deliver a consequence to the general society. And they would do this by not cooperating in, say, some industrial area, or at the time, some feudal area, farm area. The farmers, if they didn't feel that they were treated fairly, they simply wouldn't sell their goods on the open market. They would let their foodstuffs rot in the field and try to convince the other people of society that they should be heard. Black people were unable to do this, so they were left at a level of a beggar, because the political representative who was supposed to be representing us would demand certain rights, and after he didn't receive it, that people were forced to be mute, because they didn't have the tools to deliver this consequence. Well, this went on for some time, and finally the very political representative was ousted out of office. And after he was ousted out of office, black people in general remained in primarily the same position that they were in before he went into office.
In fact, they even quit voting, largely.
That's right. They were disillusioned with the political arena completely, and rightfully so, because while the black intellectuals at the time and the representatives, many of them were very equipped. They had been educated in Canada and France and so forth. They were more educated than many of the white people in the South. So the people were disillusioned, the mass of the people were disillusioned with the political arena completely. And matter of fact, they had some reservations about it in the first place. While the black intellectuals and politicians were going around saying that we would get freedom through the vote, black people were chanting in the days of Jubilee, we'll have 40 acres and 2 mules in the days of Jubilee. And so the people seemed to always recognize where their real power was located. It was the black bourgeoisie, or the black intellectuals, who were deceived. After this, after black people were put out of the political arena, we were in pretty near the same position as we were even before slavery. Matter in some instances even worse, because we were totally unemployed. And when we were enslaved, we were taken care of, if you can say taken care of, that we did get some food and we did have a shack to sleep in. But after the Southerners didn't need us anymore, we didn't have any place to go. So black people started to come north to the promised land. But to skip a period of time now, I would like to make a correlation between the current happenings, and it seems that history is never plays itself over again, repeats itself, but there are many similarities and things that happened in the past and the present. And I'd like to point out Adam Clayton Powell being put out of office in New York. And the people of Harlem, because they have very little control, or matter of fact, no control over any power area. And the power can be really divided, or you can analyze in a couple of areas. you have economical power or industrial power, and you have feudal power, control of land, and military power. According to John Hope Franklin, that the reason Black Reconstruction failed was because of a lack of economical and military power. Matter of fact, shortly after the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was very much afraid that if he didn't disarm the black people, that we would engage in guerrilla warfare and really gain our freedom, or attempt to gain our freedom. So we were disarmed. So even at the present time, we lack economical power, feudal power, and military power. So we're left in a position as beggars in the political arena. Even up to this time, that after Adam Clayton Powell was kicked out of Congress, the black people could do little more than voice an opinion about it. And if we were in control of economical power or even military power, we could have engaged and caused a political consequence for the general power structure. But because we've never had this power, there's been little progress as far as towards freedom. At this time, the Black Panther Party has realized the nature of power, and we say that power is the ability to define phenomena and then make it act in a desired manner. The Black Panther Party has attempted to erect a power base educating the black community to what real power is about. And as we analyze it, it is impossible now for us to compete with the enterprises and the people who control the industry simply because these people gained their tremendous power through exploiting us in the first place. Slave labor was the cause of the production or was the creation of the industrialized North. The land that we were supposed to get, I understand, is Standard Oil and some other big monopolies receive that land. And of course, some white Southerners also shared in stealing this land from black people. So the Black Panther Party says that we can't compete with the people who've enslaved us to gain their wealth, not economically. And of course, no one is going to give us any land. And so we're left in a situation of having but one choice. And that choice is that we are going to gain political power by any means necessary. And when we really boil it down, we see that we only have a few means. And maybe as we see it, there's really no alternative. The black community will have to arm itself in a political fashion and be a political threat to this power structure. So we have the power of potentially being destructive to this country. The trend is now that when black people are brutalized, when black people are exploited to such an extent that we can't stand anymore, you see a physical reaction. And this is in keeping with Chairman Mao's statement that political power grows through the barrel of a gun. And many people think this is ridiculous, but no one has presented any program to compete with this capitalistic power structure and been successful in trying to convince them at a conference table that black people should gain freedom, equality, and justice. Matter of fact, that up until the time when black people started to take to the streets and destroying property and destroying means of production that we're focused on now, and we're heard. And we're heard simply because this country only understands power. The whole country was erected upon power. So white people who are in control know very well what power is about. We say that black people should give some consideration to the amount of strength that we have latent, that if it were developed, then we could negotiate, because concessions would be made when white America sees that black people will no longer take no for an answer. People are always very concerned, especially in America, because it's basically a materialistic country. They're very concerned about the safe keeping of their property that they've stolen and the freedom that they've stolen. They see that their very existence rests upon the freedom of black people and all people, matter of fact, then I'm sure they'll make some concession.
The Black Panther program, and in fact the program of all black organizations in varying degrees of intensity, it seems to me, are demanding a fundamental change in the setup of our society. It's always seemed to me that the black community was the only community in this country where there was enough actual pressure to produce or spearhead at least any revolutionary change in this country. And I see the enormous change in the temper and the type of subject that black people wish to discuss. When I first was at the microphone 11 years ago, I got nothing but the nonviolent types out of the South who talked about God and brotherhood and being allowed to sit down at lunch counters or ride in buses. And I kept wondering how long it would be before they would speak in different terms. Now they speak in different terms. And it seems to me that what you're asking for, see, people are so hung up on this business of somebody's got a gun that they are not really thinking beyond that, many of them, to the other points that are in the program of the Black Panthers. Because it's a revolutionary program. If
right.
every cop in Oakland dropped dead tomorrow morning, it wouldn't change the bad housing. It wouldn't change the lack of jobs. It wouldn't change the rats and the poor health services and all these other things that the ghetto population puts up with. Now, you know, it seems to me that what you're asking for is revolutionary change.
Yes, before you have any change, first black people have to gain political power. And this is why that I thought it's very necessary to explain where and what this political power is, what stuff is made of. Of course, as far as the general structure is concerned, the general structure is an exploitive structure, starting with the enslavement of black people for the profit gain of the power structure. And they used us until they didn't need us anymore, and then they gave us a so-called Emancipation Proclamation, which really was an unemployment pass, and that we remained unemployed until about World War I, where the white soldiers went off to fight, and they needed us in the factories to again exploit us. And we became skilled, and they made very much money off of our skills. And our soldiers came back, and they didn't need us in the factories anymore, and we became domestic servants and janitors again. And after a while, they didn't even need us for this to any large degree, and we became unemployed again. So the very nature of society with the greed for profit, the system where the administrators, the ones who really control the government, remember not the government administrator, but the people whom they are representing, and they represent power blocks, they represent industrial blocks, they represent people who own land, people who own property. Black people have never, it hasn't ever been in our best interest. And we haven't ever gained anything by the capitalistic system. While capitalism, and when you think of capitalism, you always assume the theory of free enterprise, where one person can compete with the other, and that he has just as much right to, if he works harder, he will gain more land and more money. And this assumes something else, that the people will have this freedom to compete with each other, or the free enterprise theory, that black people have never engaged in free enterprise. When the move was to the West, that black people were slaves, and that when the cowboys and the frontiermen were staking up land to compete with each other, that we played no part in this. The only part we played in was to make it possible for them to engage in free enterprise. So free enterprise and capitalism has only been destructive to black people, and we're demanding a drastic change, a revolutionary change in the basic structure. And within our platform, it's explained that first, that to be born in any country, and to be born in this country, that the man has a right to live, and to live, he's going to have to provide for himself and his family. So therefore, it's up to the administrators to provide him with work. And it has nothing to do with the amount of education he has, because then that would be a very cruel discrimination, as they do today. The man who's uneducated, he doesn't deserve to live. This is the line of thinking I guess they operate upon. The man who's educated, he deserves to live. And then if you analyze it further, you'll see that the man who's robbed historically for this living is a man who ends up with the advantage. And the people who are the victim, who made it possible for him to be put in the situation of learning, were the people that he exploited for his own personal interest. So the Black Panther Party demands full housing, decent housing rather, that's fit for human beings to live in. We demand full employment. This country, with this system, with the institutions that it has, and that's private property and capitalism or private ownership, has proven that they're either they won't give full employment, or they're not, they can't, or they just won't. They're not interested in it. But as far as what are we going to do about this? If people are afraid, I don't believe that most white Americans are really afraid of guns. If it was really so, if the majority of them were afraid of guns, then they would demand that their armed forces be disarmed, and that their police officer, which is actually the local army, be disarmed, and the National Guard be disarmed. But they only become afraid when the victim starts arming himself and in a political fashion. And as far as the demands that we say and how we go about this, as far as the power that we're going to develop, that we are developing, I think is in keeping with all colonized people. And we are colonized people. We always have been. And now we're sort of in a decentralized colony. Because with the black community spread all over the country. But nevertheless, we're treated as other people in foreign countries who are colonized. The establishment acts very much like the colonizer and uses us for his interest whenever he wants to, and our work never benefits us. It only makes him richer. But in these other countries where people have sought to gain their freedom, they went about it in a way so that they could first gain power within the people, and they didn't go around talking about trying to persuade the explorer to change his ways. Perhaps they did it for a time, as we have done it for a time. But they armed themselves and they toppled the explorer, and then they administered a system that would be beneficial to most of the people. And there was no real contradiction between them tearing down and rooting out the system to place a new one. As far as your statement that if the police were driven out of the community, there will be no change. I doubt this seriously because of certain things that has happened in other countries. For instance, in Cuba, where a few armed men with Fidel Castro and Che Guevara went into the hills to change the general structure. And when they drove Batista's army out, who was aided by America, and thereby driving America out, they did change their system. So they did get decent housing, or they're attempting now to get more housing for the people. They are creating an educational system that's beneficial to most of the people. What kept them from it? Nothing but the gun of the reactionary army that was in a puppet government that was actually put there by America and supported by America. As America supports many puppet governments, as they support the puppet government of South Vietnam. So I'm inclined to believe that if the might, if the force is taken away, or if the force is matched in, through some strategic means, where it would be very difficult for the local, national authorities to deal with the black community, then the change will be at hand. But before this time, before we develop this power, then we'll remain at a begging stage, because as soon as they disagree with us, they will simply send in their police force and their National Guard, and then, as they did in Detroit, their 82nd Airborne. So it seems to be a trend that power understands power, and that without this understanding, I don't believe there will be any change in this country.
But that change would bring about revolutionary changes in the structure of our society if it could be achieved.
It definitely will be, for the simple reason that if the Black Panther Party has anything to say about it, that we realize the defects of the system now, and that, matter of fact, the corruption of the system, and we realize that the whole institution and the system must be destroyed and replaced with a new one. And we talk about decent housing, and within the platform we state that if the private landlords will not make decent housing for us, then we will nationalize the housing and make decent housing for ourselves, and we will then put pressure upon the national government authorities to aid us in this.
Do you see any natural or even necessary connection between the black movement, the black militant movement, and the other black movements, which in a sense are saying the same thing, but perhaps not coupling it with quite as outspoken a position as yours, and the white radical movement?
I say that the liberation movements in general are saying primarily the same thing, that we want freedom, and that we're demanding an equal share of the wealth. But in many cases, I think that many of the groups don't understand the problems or the that we'll have in operating within this American system, or this capitalistic system. Many of the groups believe that we can gain freedom within the structure as it's organized now, and it's no need to change the general system. I think this is a basic difference between the Black Panther Party and some other militant groups. And I think that's it's a matter of education for this group. The Black Panther Party is also an educational vanguard, that we are attempting to educate the black militants and the black freedom movement in general, and also educate the white revolutionaries of the mother country, who many of them are sincere in their quest for freedom and justice, and many of them don't understand what we'll have to do to gain this freedom, and nor do they understand the changes that will have to be made in the general structure. So we attempt to educate these other groups and these other parts of the community so that they will have a clear picture of what will be necessary to gain our freedom. And when I say that black people are arming themselves, I don't mean to imply that we're arming ourselves to go out, say, tomorrow and tear down the American structure. What we are doing